This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
On our work section today, we're going to be talking to Sarah Shorrocks, who runs her own interior design company called Outstanding Interiors, based in Weybridge. So welcome to you, Sarah.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for inviting me onto the programme today.
Oh, pleasure. It's lovely to see you. Now, domestic and commercial projects you work on, which do you prefer, or would you rather not say?
They're both wonderful, but entirely different in terms of the, you know, I mean, having worked with people living in a sort of residential block of flats and that sort of thing, where you've got to consider a number of clients and their opinions and make sure that everybody's happy. That's a great new challenge. And hotel design, there are lots of requirements for, you know, to comply with the law, to make sure we're doing things well and properly. And then there's the very sort of personal touch of working with individual families and clients, which is fantastic.
Yes. So, well, what sort of training do you have to do to become an interior designer?
It very definitely there is a need to do proper courses, because there are, even if the rules are broken, I think you need to be aware of the rules before you break them in this field. otherwise, you can end up with some fairly horrendous outcomes. It's legendary, some of the TV programmes you see, where things have gone wide of people's expectations. So I think knowing the rules, and there are degree courses, there are some excellent courses out there. I trained at the University of the Arts, but actually I did a sort of an initial course, persuading my family that this was a good idea. I did an adult education course initially, which was a fabulous way in. So if people are wanting to know whether it's for them, that's also a good way of testing, you know, whether it would be a career they'd like to follow. And getting practical experience, that's the other thing.
So did you work with other companies then initially?
Yes, I actually worked in a retail environment that sold furniture and decorative finishes before I took the plunge. Because I think it really helps to get your eye in to understand if that's for you. So it does take quite a bit of commitment, it's very worthwhile.
I was just thinking that, I think what baffles me is the huge amount of choice. Because I know I've got sofas covered recently. Yeah. I was going to spec, because I'd got in my mind the sort of colour and panda, and of course nothing is ever there, the one you want. And you've got books. I mean, this is just a small local upholstery shop, and they must have had 60, 70 books of, you know, pages and pages of fabrics, and the ones that do fabrics and coordinating wallpaper, and you're mad.
It is quite challenging. And of course, and one of the things that we do for our clients, because we like to be very person-centred rather than impose our style on them, is to sit down with the client and go through some images, and that tends to pull out, lots of people have more than one set of tastes, but it pulls out what your key tastes are. Mm-hmm. And from that you can begin to develop a scheme, and it's lovely to see that unfolding, where you really tune into what somebody would like. But of course it is also influenced by what's in fashion and what isn't. Mm. So you may have thought, oh, I would like to have this colour this year, and you'll find that you'll go everywhere and not actually be able to find that any longer, because the marketers have moved on. It can be quite frustrating for somebody if they've got a preconception. So yeah, finding something as near to their taste as possible.
I think sometimes as well, it's that having the eye, so being able to actually put the big picture together. Yeah. I mean, that's a real skill, isn't it? I mean, you know, and I don't think really that is something that you can be taught. I think then you can study how to do it, but I think that is probably quite a natural ability.
It has to be there from the beginning, doesn't it? It has to be. I think that's true. And one of the things that's also key is it's not just about colour and finishes, it's about spatial planning. So very often you'll go into a room and you'll think, this doesn't quite work, or I'm not quite sure why that's not hanging together. And a lot of it's based on things like body language, the space of chairs, you know, how far they are apart, how far furniture is from another piece of furniture. All that instinctively we pick up on as cues, and they will tell you whether a room is working properly or not. Because that's how we conduct ourselves. You know, if you sit next to somebody comfortably in a space, it's because the chairs or the seating has been placed properly. So that's also part of it. It's not just the visual finishes and colours.
So I think what you're saying there about that, actually having your own style that you sort of see, but also then really listening to a client, that must be extremely difficult, because sometimes do you get clients who say, no, I really, really like this, and you just think, good God, that's hideous and just so not going to work. How do you manage that?
there's always a way through, and it is a partnership, and within some bounds of reasonableness, that you know, that there will be a way of achieving that. So if a client wanted to put together things that you might initially consider as very clashing in terms of colour, you only have to look at some of the vibrant textiles that somebody like Designers Guild produce, and they make it very coherent, putting oppositional colours together. If you repeat that pattern in a room, or that colour combination in different ways, suddenly it becomes a proper colour dialogue, and it works very effectively. So what you might think initially, oh no, that's not going to work. I mean, I was in a public building the other day, and there was a bright, shiny red and pink put next to each other. But because the finishes and the walls were shiny surfaces, it was very effective. It was like being in a sweet shop. It was very bright. It was very vibrant. It was very cheerful. But if somebody had said to you, will you put those colours together, or would you instinctively, your answer might be no.
So. I mean, how much of the sort of work on the domestic side is sort of the exterior, well, what would you call it, the outside of the room, if you like, you know, the furniture, the curtains, the wall coverings, the flooring maybe, but, the, you know, they've decided that the furniture is to stay, and that's what they love, and they don't want anybody to touch their furniture, but they want to put it, you know, they want the surroundings to be better. Does that happen often, that you just... And therefore, you've got the challenge of working with what you might consider to be furniture that just doesn't fit.
Well, that's fine. You know, at the end of the day, it's the client's home. And it's as simple as that. That, I mean, our view is that you have to listen very carefully to a client's requirements. And you can advise, you might actually advise that you reconfigure the positioning of the furniture. You might say, well, if you turn that round in a different way, it will fit better into the room. So that can be an answer. Mm. It really is a matter of being flexible and responsive. I was, you know, saying the other day, it's like having a bad haircut. If you go and have a bad haircut, and it's been imposed on you by a hairdresser, and you really didn't want it, and then they go away, leaving you sort of nursing the consequences of that, it's dreadful. So it's a matter of making schemes work, but also accommodating clients' wishes, not imposing on them. And I think that's a very important balance.
So, and you've got your own home was a complete wreck, wasn't it? And then basically you've done sort of one room by room.
It was pretty atrocious. It was four walls and a shaky roof. And in fact, when we moved in, the chimney had so little mortar in it that had it not been remedied straight away, it might have fallen down in the next high wind and killed someone. It was that volatile a situation. And that's one of the ways that I got into the business, was sorting that out and doing it incrementally, yeah, as finances would allow.
Was that sort of a buy-in from the whole family? Did you do the kind of, yes, we're going to do it and we'll do it a room at a time? Or was it just no, we're doing it as a mass project and actually I'm going to get all my skills sorted on it?
I think I'd always wanted to be an interior designer is the answer, and my husband's very long-suffering. Okay, we'll do this. I did notice the sort of terrified backward look as we finally made the offer on the property before we walked away, that he gave to it. It's like, goodness, what have we taken on? But and yes, we only had one child at the time when we moved there. We now have three. So we've kind of developed, it was quite a spacious house. We developed parts of the house as we've gone along. And that can be a response for people if they don't want to make all the decisions at one time, because you do have to live in a space to a degree to understand it if you're not doing it professionally initially. It's quite good to just reflect a little bit and not rush at it. So we did all the structural stuff first. We replaced the roof, we replaced the
chimney,
windows, the chimney. the lot, basically, before I was ever allowed anywhere near the interiors, because of course that's the priority, and we would always give anybody that advice: get your structure right first.
So, is that something you offer advice on as well?
Yes, we can either give advice, and we can put people in touch with the appropriate professionals. It's always key to involve someone who's, if you're moving walls, who's got a knowledge of the structure, structural engineer, and also you have to go through the necessary planning consents and building control consents. They're key to it properly.
Yeah, and was that a case of also taking all your own furniture with you to there, or were there some rooms that you did completely brand new everything?
It was a combination. Yes, we didn't just throw everything away. We always tried, and it's a piece of advice I'd give to anybody: buy the best you can, particularly in big pieces of furniture, sofas. They can last a very long time, providing you buy good quality. So we did stick with some of our existing pieces. I do remember on a family holiday coming back from France, we had our poor long-suffering kids in the back there, and we were bringing back a bed, an iron cast iron bed from a depot vault, sort of like they were like children behind the bars in a prison sitting there. Nursing this thing on the way back through, because mother had found this thing in a depot vault, the second-hand shop in France. So, yeah, we've used savvy approaches to try and stretch our budget and to get the best result that we can. And some of it was pre-existing furniture, and some of it's stuff we bought. So,
yeah. And do people come to you and usually just have sort of one room, or do they have the whole house, or do they get to the stage where you do one room and then they realise that actually the rest of the house looks rubbish compared to it? Does that tend to happen quite a lot?
It does, actually, yeah. And it becomes a trusting and affectionate relationship. I mean, there are clients, we've been going as a business for 8 years now, and one of our earliest clients has just commissioned us to do a penthouse apartment for them, and that's been after we've worked our way through their existing home, they're moving, so that's a great compliment. But we're quite happy to work incrementally. In fact, we like it. It gives us the chance to evaluate the client taste and to work through a project. Very often they'll give us, I think probably the greatest area of detail design is bathrooms. So often we'll be asked to do a bathroom first, and then they see that working well and they'll ask us to do other rooms.
Yeah, I would have thought it would have been a kitchen.
I think bathrooms are
bathroom, huh?
Quite demanding. It's deceptive.
Yeah.
So.
And do you have many couples where they are so completely opposite in their sort of,
absolutely.
Colour, favourite colours, favourite style?
It's wonderful. I love that, because it just, what tends to happen is, if we've done our job right and we try desperately not to leave clients unhappy, that's, I don't think we ever have. It's a top priority, is to sort of always think about, how they'd be feeling. And so what happens is you get these fabulous dynamics where they totally disagree at the beginning, and you become sort of like a mediator. So you're sort of trying to find solutions through which will suit them both. And the end result is very uplifting. It's just wonderful when you've got, because environment shapes how we feel. Architecture shapes how we live in a space. If you've got an open plan space and you see each other a lot more, don't you, than if you're in an individual sort of roomed Victorian house, for example. So if you think about centre parks, for example, they all the rooms open out onto a communal kitchen. That's deliberate, so that the family gets together a lot. And then, if you're looking at choices of colour and things, the environment people create together, it becomes a joint project, and it can be very uplifting, because they create a space they love to be in. And then that lifts everybody emotionally. So it's just the best business in the world to be in. It really is.
You don't have to sort of find a corner to hide a table football.
Well, I was going to say, do you do sort of individual sessions with the, actually this is what drives me absolutely insane about my husband, and I want this tidied away? Or do you have to do that kind of stuff? Or
you can normally read the cues.
That would be the conversation at all.
Find ways through. But
it sounds like you almost need a degree in psychology before you can even start this business.
it's just lovely. Very often the solutions, manifest themselves, because we use, you're talking about what do you do to become an interior designer. One of the things that I think is key for any aspiring interior designer is to learn how to use the technology. The computer-aided design is great. And so, you know, it does mean that if you're working on a room, very often solutions will present themselves. You'll work out, oh yes, this flows better this way, and you know that's how you come to those solutions, and they become self-evident. They, as you sit working with a couple of clients, even if they disagree radically, the consensual process seems to come through the strength of the design itself. Mm-hmm. So it's lovely.
Sounds like a tip there anyway to sort of get the technology savvy. But you have any other tips for people thinking maybe they could start an interior design business? Or?
Yeah. So I would say get as much experience as you can. If there are local practices local to you, go and offer your services, being mindful of the fact that they are likely to be, you know, busy. Maybe, you know, start even by doing just some simple things, offering to do a little bit of admin support and so forth, so that you understand what it's really like. Because the projection of interior designers through the media isn't terribly realistic. It is a very detailed process, a very detailed business. It's quite hard work. You've got to be really passionate about it to want to do it. So I would say get a realistic understanding. If you can't get into interior design practices, go and work in somewhere that has a retail outlet dealing in furniture or kitchens or bathrooms, because that equally will give you a sense of what the business involves. Mm-hmm. And then get training. A great way in is to go into an adult education course, if you can get access to one, just to get a sense, again, of whether it's for you. Mm. And a background in art, obviously, or one of the creative media side of things does help.
I was going to say, yeah, just one last question. That as we go into summer, is there a colour that is the fashion or the trend that we should be going for? Or?
Well, as with everything, there are always a number of things. Oh. I mean, grey and beige are still very popular, and they're out there and people are using them a lot. Splashes of block colours, you know, red, pink, out there big time, lots of florals, softening away from those graphic trends now. And there's a lot of blue, every shade of blue. Gold is coming back in, metallic gold is sneaking its way back in through the Gilvers, the silver and gold combinations.
Okay, lovely. Excellent. There you go. Excellent. That's my nursery planning sorted. Yes.
Right. Well, yeah. And do you want to just give us your website, Sarah, so people can get hold of you?
Our address is www.outstandinginteriors.co.uk, and we're also hosted on a fabulous website, All About Weybridge, which is run by Chris Grace, who is mm-hmm. a local hero. Fabulous website, that. So yeah. If anybody's starting a business...
And he tweeted you earlier.
He's brilliant.
That you're on here. So that's great. Well, thank you very much indeed. That's Sarah Shaw.
Thank you for having me.
From Outstanding Interiors.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.